Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Simon Majumdar is a food writer, broadcaster, and author of Eat My Globe and Eating for Britain. He is a recurring judge on Iron Chef, The Next Iron Chef, and Cutthroat Kitchen. He is a fine living correspondent for AskMen.com and writes regular features for the Food Network website. He joins us this morning to talk about his new book, An Exploration into the Food Cultures That Make Up America. The book is Fed, White, and Blue, Finding America with My Fork. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Simon Majumdar to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Very nice to have you with us. This book is a lot of fun, and I'm curious as to what point you said, okay, let's look at it this way.
Well, I think what happened was that, when my wife and I got married, I became a resident of the United States, and I'm not one of those people who likes to do things by half measure. I didn't just want to be a resident here like the kind of cranky old uncle who won't leave after Thanksgiving. I wanted to be a fully part of the American process. So I wanted to become a citizen, and I wanted to figure out what that meant. And food has always been almost an obsession with me, and certainly it saved my life when I went around the world to write my first book. And so I invited America to ask me to come and join its food experiences or to discover them. And I used that really as a way of just meeting amazing people all around the country. And so pretty soon after I got married, this began germinating. And then in 2013, the journey really began in earnest.
So let me ask a question that perhaps should come later in the interview, but I want to ask it now because I think it may set the course. And that is, do you see it as far as our food culture? Are there parts of it that are just universal? That there is a universal food culture that is out there throughout the world, or do we have a very specific, very unique American food culture?
I think the answer is both. There are certain aspects of food culture which I do think are universal, and I think that's about showing generosity of spirit, the notion of service and hospitality, and sharing, and that's something that I find throughout the world, and I've certainly been lucky enough to experience that, as far apart as Senegal in Africa and Calcutta in India and all over Latin America, and I've been very fortunate. But there are other aspects that I think are uniquely American, and that speaks to really a history of trade and immigration and even war. And so if you look at the food scene in the United States, obviously immigration is a big part of it, the initial immigrants and their interaction. I spent some time at Plymouth Plantation and the pilgrims there and their interaction with the Wampanoag native community. And then also, obviously, German immigration that led to barbecue and Italian immigration that led to a whole range of cuisines. And more recently, people coming out from Mexico, and I'm married to a Filipino-American, people coming in from the Asian communities. So I think American food is creating, and it sounds cliche to say a melting pot, but it genuinely is just this unique hybrid of lots of cultures and the fusion that's happening. You can see this down in Texas, where you have a big Vietnamese community, and they're creating this almost hybrid of those two cuisines. So I think there's something that's very special about what's happening in the United States right now, but at the heart of it, there's this generosity of spirit that I think is universal.
How did you decide where you were going to go and what you wanted to do when you were there?
Well, I didn't, and I think that's one of the things that I think is really fun, hopefully fun for people to read about the book. It really was an invitation from people to go and join them. So I had some that I was really excited about already because I had them on my list of ones that I was looking for, going out on the lobster boats in Maine and going fishing for salmon in Alaska. But then I had ones that came totally out of the blue, like being invited to be on the entourage of a competitive eater at Wing Bowl in Philadelphia, which is a crazy event where 23,000 people gather at 7 o'clock in the morning on Super Bowl weekend to watch people eat wings to win a championship. And the guy who won that has become a very dear friend, Jamie the Bear McDonald. And it's a great American story because he used the money he won from that competition, whatever it was, I can't remember the exact amount offhand, to fund not only his part of his kids' college fund, but also to help fund a new restaurant, which he's now running, a barbecue restaurant. And the other one that I really was a really magical experience for me was an out of the blue call to go and host a kosher barbecue festival in Kansas City. You know, and it kind of, that comes right out of the who knew, that I didn't even know there was such a thing as kosher barbecue, but there's a big community of kosher barbecue festivals that are all operated under the kosher rules, you know, but with real passion, and they're part of the Kansas City Barbecue Society. And so to discover this and to make these wonderful connections with the people who run it, who've now become very, very good friends, and I go back every year, was something that was unexpected but just entirely wonderful. So there were two levels to it, really.
And I guess I ask the question because I'm assuming you received many more invitations than you were able to go to, so there was some culling that you had to do.
Well, I mean, there was some, not, I'm culling, it was really just, I'd have done everything, I mean, because I got so many great, and I still do, on the book tour that my wife and I are undertaking now, the kind of, we're calling it the Great Fed White and Blue Book Tour, but it's just us going around the country, going to parts where people are inviting us to come and stay with them and cook with them and do readings in, whether it's in a church or a restaurant or a culinary school or a bookstore, and we're doing that. We've just come back from Puerto Rico to do that. But there were lots of stories that I did that also just didn't make it into the book, and it's not because they weren't wonderful experiences, but they didn't necessarily contribute to the narrative of what I was trying to get over, and that's not a lack of appreciation for the invitation or the experience I had, you know, just that I only had 80,000 words to play with.
When you look at because also you want to get kind of a sampling of what is out there of different cultures and go geographically around the country. And you mentioned both Alaska and Maine, two great, obviously, one known for the salmon, one known for lobster. And that's kind of the obvious. But then, as you say, there are the other places like Kansas City where you don't expect to be at a kosher barbecue festival.
Yes, I mean, these things do come out, like I said, out of the blue. And I think one of the things that I really loved about this journey, and I really did discover, is that great food now isn't really restricted to the big cities, which I think was true certainly when I first started coming to the United States nearly 30 years ago now, long before I ever thought about becoming a citizen. The coastal kind of areas were very much the mainstays. But what I've found certainly since 2008, a lot of chefs who were struggling to live in the big cities because of the economy have moved back to their hometowns or to other small towns, taking their incredible talents with them, using the local ingredients, and really raising up the platform of food in the United States to what I genuinely believe is the most exciting I've ever encountered. And I think as an example of that, you only need to look at this rise of new southern cuisine that we're experiencing at the moment and how fashionable it's become. But that's because some incredibly talented chefs stayed in the South in places like Birmingham, in Richmond, and New Orleans, in Charleston, and created Charlotte, and creating incredible food, really raising it up. And that's happening all over the country now.
And you, well, my God, you even went tailgating.
Yes, that was a crazy experience. First of all, you have to bear in mind that I come from a country with a climate where, you know, there's probably only 2 days of sunshine every other year. So the notion of having a tailgating, of being outside at any time and cooking is quite an unusual one. And also, you know, when my passion for soccer, for football, most of those football grounds tend to be in the middle of big towns, so there's not huge space. It's a very different environment. We tend to just go to the pub and have a little bit too much to drink before we go to the football match. But in the United States, obviously, there's these huge grounds with big spaces, and they promote tailgating. So I really wanted to experience one, and I don't think there were many better than the University of Texas go to, because they are serious about their tailgating.
Well, it's a fascinating tour and a fascinating book. It is called Fed White and Blue, Finding America with My Fork. It is published by Hudson Street Press. Simon Majumdar, I thank you very much for sharing with us. Thanks for the great book and all the great work you do. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it, too.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, Fed White and Blue. It is published by Hudson Street Press by Simon Majumdar. Paula Poundstone will visit us next. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.